If you're thankful to be here, say praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. It's so good to be together again. Once a year, the Lord brings us all together from many campuses around Southern California, from San Diego to Santa Barbara. I don't know, do we have anybody north of Santa Barbara? I don't know if any from San Luis Obispo, maybe. From Santa Monica, maybe all the way to Phoenix. Any from Tucson? Tucson? I don't know if Tucson. Yeah. So it's such a wonderful time to be together again. Amen. Every time we come together, the Lord speaks to us. Amen. He speaks to us from His Word. Amen. He speaks to us something that's on His heart. And it's so good to be together that I just have to sing the chorus to song 2. Could you join me? Amen. The chorus to song 2. Are you ready? Jesus is getting us together. Come and see the saints in one accord. His love is knitting us together to the stature of the fullness of the Lord. Sisters! Jesus, getting us together. Come and see. Oh, His love. Brothers,
Jesus
is getting us together. Come and see the saints in one accord. His love is knitting us together. Stature of the fullness of the Lord. Together. Jesus is getting us together. Come and see the saints in one accord. His love is knitting us together. Stature of the fullness of the Lord. Oh, so good to be together.
Amen.
With Jesus.
Amen.
How about let's have those who are here for the first time. That is, if you've the first spring conference that you've been to, could you just stand? We just want to welcome you. The first spring conference that you've ever been. Wow! Lord Jesus! Wow, brother! Praise the Lord! Amen! Good to have you here. Wonderful. Thank you. Thank you. Wow, that's more than we expected. Wonderful. So the Lord must be doing something on all your campuses. Now, when we come together, we're not here to network. We're here to blend.
Amen.
Yeah, in the world, they call it networking. Hey, you know, so you can get a job in the future, you know, get connections. What is it, LinkedIn or something? LinkedIn, yeah, I know a few of us are on there, yeah. So, you know, we get LinkedIn, yeah. But here it's to blend. It's something of life. We don't want to just share knowledge and numbers. We want to share the Christ we're enjoying.
Amen.
Oh, so we encourage you this whole weekend. Yeah. Sit with somebody. I sat down to have my In-N-Out burger. And there was a brother from UCLA named Miles. And he said, hi, brother. Where are you from? And it was so sweet.
Amen.
Yeah, we encourage this. Meet somebody that you never met before. Sit down next to him and just share what you've enjoyed of the Lord.
Amen.
This is what the Lord is doing.
Yeah.
He's bringing us together.
Amen.
To enjoy Him together.
Amen.
And this is really what's on His heart. He wants to show us the church. So let's read the title of your booklet. You might have to turn it sideways. Yeah, so you can see clearly. See the vision, right? Okay, let's read it together. The vision of the church. One more time. The vision of the church. The Lord wants to show us the vision of the church. And in message 1, let's read the title also. God's purpose for the church. Tonight we want to begin to see God's purpose for the church. Did you know that God's purpose is all about the church? The church. That's what His purpose is. You might think His purpose is to just save people and bring them to heaven. But the Bible shows us, and we'll see tonight, the Bible shows us again and again that there's something that God wants called the church. The church. God's purpose is for the church. What is your purpose for? What is your goal? What are you living for? Many young people in Southern California, they're going to school, get an education. They're networking so they can get a job after their education, right? Wouldn't it be good to get a job after spending all that money and time to get educated? And then get a good job so they can make money. And then make money, then you can buy a car and buy a house. And then hopefully there would be a lady that would be attracted to that and want to get together and have a family and the American dream. But God's purpose is the church. I hope this weekend, some of you young people, your purpose would become the church. That is, your purpose would be the same as God's purpose. Can you imagine living a life that is one with God's purpose? Not a life that's centered around me, myself, and I. Right? The unholy Trinity. Yeah. But the Father, the Son, and the Spirit dispensing Himself into us. This is God's purpose. So we're really praying for you all that we could see the church. We could see God's purpose. And let's read Roman numeral 1 together. If we would be a proper Christian, we need to see the vision of the church. I believe all of us want to be a proper Christian. And matter of fact, that's probably why you're here tonight. Maybe it was at the table last fall. Yeah, you met Christian students, or maybe they're called Christians on campus, right? Different club names that we have. And I think tonight many of us are here from different Christian clubs around Southern California. And maybe you thought, oh yeah, it's good, you know, to be with other Christians and read the Bible. Read the Bible. But we like to share with you tonight, to be a proper Christian, you not only need to read the Bible, but you need to see something. You need to see a vision of the church. Any Christian that doesn't see God's purpose, doesn't see God's goal, doesn't see the church, is short, is not proper. They're missing something. Yeah, they're missing the goal of God. Wouldn't that be a tragedy if you were a Christian for your whole life and you never knew what God really wanted? What God really... You were born in a Christian family. You read the Bible, but the Bible was kind of confusing, difficult. You didn't really know, like, what's it all about? You saw a few things here and there. Baptism, speaking in tongues. You saw different things. But you never really saw, what's it all about? What is all the Bible speaking about? What's the goal? What's God's purpose? So we want to share with you. We're so happy to share with you. Amen. God's goal is the church. Amen. God's purpose is for the church. Amen. He just has one thing on His heart. Church. Christ and the church. Does anybody know where the word church is first mentioned in the Bible? Any of the college students? Can anyone raise their hand or stand up and tell us? Where's the first mention of the word church in the Bible? Anybody can do it? Yeah, okay, Brother Alex. Say it. Matthew 16, what verse? Amen. That's why we need the body. Good. Matthew 16, 18, right? In this verse, what happened? The Lord told Peter... He says, upon this rock, I will build my church. Oh my goodness. All the Bible in the Old Testament, the word church never came up. But it was in God's heart. It was there. He wanted it. But finally, He found a man, Peter. Peter, in a few verses earlier, he had said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Peter received a revelation of who Christ was. And based on this revelation... When you know Christ, then Christ says, I've got something for you. I want the church. Dear young people, flesh and blood cannot reveal these things to us. I can't reveal the church to you. The Father reveals the Son. And the Son reveals the church. So we need to be open this weekend. We need to be open to the Lord, that the Lord could show us the church. Now, I just want to share a little bit with you. Why is it so important to see vision, to have a vision of the church? And I'd like to give you a verse. I don't know if you've ever seen this verse in Proverbs 29:18, where there is no vision, the people cast off restraint. This means if we don't have a vision of the church, that means we'll just live a life without restraint. We'll be wild. We may do many things. We may have a heart for God. But if we don't see a vision, then we'll live a life that's without restraint. So it's very important for us to see vision. Someone who saw vision was Paul. So he said in Acts 26:19, I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision. Paul saw a heavenly vision. Oh, dear young people, we want you to see a vision this weekend. We want you all weekend to be watching some HD. HD vision. You know what that is? Heavenly divine vision. Yeah, you got to change that HD. No. High definition, forget about that. Heavenly divine vision. That's what God wants to show us. He wants to show us vision. When you see a vision, when Paul saw a vision, you know what it did? A vision always brings you into a commission. A vision commissions you. That is, it sets the track for your life. You have no vision, you're wild. You go to school, oh, it doesn't matter. I take a class here, class there. I have no vision. I don't know what I want to do. I don't know what I want to study. Right? Maybe that was your experience when you started college. Right? You had no vision. People ask you that terrible question. What are you going to study? What's your major? No vision. You didn't know what to study, right? But hopefully now, after a couple years, yeah, you took some classes. Now you got a vision, right? You got on track. We call that getting on track. Yeah. Right? Off track, you don't know what to study, no vision. But you get on track. You have a vision. This is what I want to do. This is what I want to study. It's very good to have a vision in school, and very good to have a vision as a Christian, that God's goal is to have the church. Now, are you ready to see a vision? Are you ready to see a vision?
Yeah.
I'm not sure if you're quite ready. I'm not sure. Not because you didn't say amen loud enough, but because there's some prerequisites to see a vision. Let me share with you. And if you'd like, you could write down these 6 points I want to give you. 6 points I want to give you that you can see a vision. What do you need to be? Number one, we need to be emptied. Emptied. In order to see a vision, we need to be emptied. Emptied in our spirit. And I'll give you the verse for this. Matthew 5:3. Blessed are the poor in spirit. That means to be emptied, to be unloaded in our spirit. We may think we know the church. Oh, yeah. What are you talking about? I've been going to that building since I was a little kid. Yeah, that church, it's just down the street. We could walk to church.
Yeah.
You need to be emptied. Oh, no. I know it's not a building. I was raised in the church. I'm a church kid. I went to children's meeting. I know what the church is. I would just ask you tonight, you need to be emptied. Emptied. Could the Lord grant us this mercy that we could say, Lord, show me the church. Lord, I don't know what the church is. I've heard about the church. I think I know the church. But Lord, I want to see the church. Lord, help me to be emptied out. Help me to be emptied. Number one. Number two, turn your heart. Turn your heart. 2 Corinthians 3:16. Whenever their heart turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. We know this verse. We've heard this verse. We've shared this verse with other people. But I just ask you tonight, is your heart completely turned to the Lord? Turn away from your week. Turn away from today. Turn away from the assignments that are pending, that are hanging over your head. I know what it's like. Every Sunday afternoon, it'll be like, all right, got to get that work done. Not now, right? Friday night, forget about my assignments. But We need to turn from everything, from every distraction, from good things and bad things. Turn our heart. If we turn our heart, then what happens? The veil is taken away. Number three, we need revelation. Revelation. Revelation, you know what revelation is? Revelation is the opening of the veil. The opening of the veil. Something is covered. Something is hidden. But by God's mercy, He takes away the veil. He rolls away the veil. And we see what we haven't seen before. This is revelation. We all need this. Now, what verse will be used for this? Ephesians 1:17. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you a spirit of wisdom and revelation. Amen. Revelation is a matter of our spirit. Our spirit. That's why it's so good to exercise your spirit to sing, to call on the Lord. Because it's in your spirit that you can see. It's in your spirit that you have revelation. If you're just in your mind, oh, I think I know the church. Yeah, I know what he's talking about. I know which verse he's going to say next. Then you probably won't see anything. Because revelation is a matter of our spirit. Our spirit. We need to pray for a spirit of revelation. Number four, what do you need to see revelation? To see vision, sorry. Light. Light. And I'll try to put these all together here at the end. Light. Where do we see light? Ephesians 1:18, the next verse. It says, the eyes of your heart having been enlightened. Enlightened. There might be a scenery. There might be something to see. But just suppose tonight the lights are all out. No light. We can't see. You have to have light. We need the Lord to enlighten the eyes of our heart. And Paul said in Ephesians 3:9, that he wanted to enlighten all that they may see. That was Paul's burden. That was why Paul wrote Ephesians. He wanted to enlighten all that they may see what the economy of the mystery is. Listen to this. Which throughout the ages has been hidden in God who created all things. There's something that has been hidden in God, young people. Throughout all the ages. He didn't reveal it to anyone until the New Testament time. Peter was the first one. And he said, church. Then Paul saw church. Then John saw church. There was some in the New Testament age who saw what was on God's heart. What was hidden deep in God's heart. He finally revealed in the New Testament. So we want to see. So we need light. We need light. Then, number five, in addition to light, what do you need? Sight. You need light and you need sight. Yeah. Did you notice the verse I just read? It said the eyes of your heart. Did you ever know your heart had eyes? Whoa. There's eyes in my heart. Yeah, not your physical heart. But your psychological heart, inside your being, your heart has eyes. So we need to pray for sight. Lord, open the eyes of my heart that we could see, we could see. And lastly, to receive vision, you know what we need? Is we need wisdom. This was also in Ephesians 1:17. Wisdom means that when you see something, you understand what it is. You might see it. Say, oh, yeah. You say, oh, it looks like a cow. Oh, no, that was a car. You didn't see so good, huh? You didn't have the wisdom. What? I saw something, but what do I call it? We need to understand what we see. And that's also in our spirit. A spirit of wisdom. So let me just illustrate this briefly like this. Here we are. There's a vision. What's a vision? Let me give you a definition of vision. Vision is an extraordinary scene that God wants to unfold to man. This is a vision. Let me say that one more time. A vision is an extraordinary scene that God wants to unfold to man. God wants to show you the vision. Yeah, it's been in his heart too long. He wants us, all of us in this room, he wants us to see this vision. This is what he wants this weekend. He wants us to see a vision of the church. But how can we see it? Just imagine the vision is right here. All these shining faces. Wow, it's so good to see you all. I see some of my dear brothers and sisters from Riverside. Wow, it's great to see you guys here. Amen. We made it, huh? Thank you, Lord. So here's an extraordinary scene right in front of me, okay? But here I am. I come to the conference, and I'm over here. The scene's over there, yeah? Right there, the scene's right over there. But I'm over here. I come over here, say, oh, I get the pamphlet, Vision of the Church. Oh, yeah, I know what it's going to be all about, the church. I know it. I've heard about this before. I know the verses, Matthew 6, 16, 18, yeah. Matthew 18, 17, Revelation 1, 10, yeah. Ephesians 1, 22, 23. You know the verses, but you know what? You're not emptied. You're not emptied. So you have to pray, Lord, empty me out. Lord, empty me out. First thing in this conference is I need to pray. Lord, empty me out. Lord, empty me. Lord, I'd like to be unloaded right now. Number one. Number two, what do I need to do? The vision's over there. So what do I need? I need to turn. Turn my heart. You say, I turn. I can kind of see it. It's like my peripheral vision over there. Yeah, I see the vision. Do you see it really good? No, you turned a little bit. Yeah, but there's still other things in your heart that you haven't turned completely. You turn. I turn. I can kind of see those guys over there. Yeah, I can see the vision now. But would you turn? Turn all the way. Turn all the way tonight. All right? Now, you turned. Wonderful. But you know what? Now you've got a veil. Yeah. So you need revelation. You need the rolling away of the veil. Lord, give me a spirit of revelation. You ask him, and he does it. Lord, give me a spirit of revelation. Okay. Actually, as you're turning, you know what's happening? Yeah. As you're turning, the veil's being taken away, right? They go together. Yeah. Turn your heart. Pray for a spirit of wisdom and revelation. Boom. It's gone. Now, oh, great. Man, I did so many things. I'm emptied. I turned. Wow, revelation. But now, what's the next word? Light. We got to turn on the lights. You have to ask for light. Lord, bring the light. Lord, send the light. Lord, enlighten the eyes of my heart. Then, here you are, in the light. No veil. Turned. Emptied. And your eyes are closed. Lord, sight. Yeah, your eyes have to be open, right? You have to ask for sight. Lord, give me sight. Lord, anoint my eyes that I could see. And then lastly, what do you need? Now you finally see. You're turned, you're emptied, everything's going good. Lord, give me the wisdom to understand what I see. Okay, now that we've talked about it, let's do this. Before we go any further, let's take 1 or 2 minutes together, just with those you're sitting next to, and pray this to the Lord. Pray to be emptied. Pray to turn your heart fully to the Lord. Pray that the Lord would give you light, that he would give you sight, that he would give you revelation, and he would give you wisdom. Okay, let's just take a minute right now. Just pray with the one next to you. Whatever the Lord is touching you on, you just pray right now. Amen. How do you feel? Isn't it good to pray? Yeah, if we don't pray, we can never receive vision. But every time we pray, we turn, we open, we see. This is the way that we can receive vision. I encourage you, dear saints, every meeting, pray this way. This whole weekend, we need much prayer. Because it's not shown by flesh and blood. It's shown by our Father. It's a spiritual, inward vision that we're talking about. It's not lights. We're not going to have like a lightning bolt come down tonight. Yeah, unless there's bad weather or something. But It's not like that. It's inside of us. You have to pray, young people. Okay? Pray. Pray each meeting. Pray when you go to the group time. Pray tonight in your hospitality. Pray in the car on the way here in the morning. More prayer, the more vision you will see. Okay? This is a real secret for all of us to see the vision. Now, let's come back to the outline. We need to see a vision of the church was Roman number one. In letter A, it says the New Testament reveals that the church is the heart's desire of God. Wow. How do you feel that you could know the heart's desire of God? Isn't that a mercy of the Lord? You could know what is in God's heart. His purpose in creation was to produce a church. His purpose in redemption was for the church. In fact, all that God does is for the church. This is a wonderful phrase. All that God does is for the church. So surely you want to know what the church is, right? You want to have a vision of the church because everything he's doing is for the church. You might say, is that really true? I didn't get into UCLA. Some senior, high school seniors here. Or maybe you're a sophomore or a junior. Yeah, I didn't get into UCLA. That was for the church. Wow. I never thought of it that way. He sent me to Irvine. Why did he send you to Irvine? For the church! Wow. Boy, everything's going to change in your life if you realize everything that God does. Not just what God does out there, but what God does in your personal universe. Everything he does is for the church. I have to tell you, young people, it's been 20 years, two decades. Sorry to say. Well, not sorry. I'm not sorry. Since I was in college. Yeah. Two decades ago, I was a college student like yourself. I know, hard to believe. Anyway, as I look back on the last 20 years, I can say genuinely, everything that happened in my life was for the church.
Amen.
When we look back, we will realize everything is for the church. We may not realize right now, but one day we will realize it's all for the church. Now, let me share with you three verses that I hope would give you a little bit of feeling how precious the church is to God. Are you ready? The first verse is this, Matthew 13, 45 and 46. In this verse, the Lord was speaking in parables, and he said, again, the kingdom of the heavens is like a merchant seeking fine pearls. And finding one pearl of great value, he went and sold all that he had and bought it. In this parable, the merchant is the Lord Jesus himself. The Lord Jesus is a merchant. He's seeking for fine pearls. You know what this pearl is? This pearl is the church. In the world, as represented by the sea, within the world, there's an oyster, which is Christ. And within Christ, a grain of sand comes and wounds him. That's us, the sinner. We come, we get into Christ, we enter into Christ, and we wound him. And what does he do? He secretes his life around us, and he produces a pearl. This is the church. This is what Christ, as the merchant, was seeking for a fine pearl. And he found it. Christ found the pearl. And what did he do? He went and he sold all that he had, and he bought it. When did the Lord Jesus do this? He did this on the cross. When the Lord Jesus went to the cross, you know what was before him? There was a joy set before him. And that was the church. He said, I want to purchase this church. I want to give everything that I have for this church. So he sold all that he had. Would you, as God, lower yourself to become a man? Humble yourself, as we see in Philippians 2. Humble himself to become a man, to become a slave, and to be crucified by your own creatures? Who would do that? Who would sell all that they had? His position in God, his place in the God. He humbled himself. He emptied himself. He lowered himself. And he became just as a slave to go to the cross for us, to buy the church. This is the first verse that shows us how precious is the church to God. Then you just continue this. Ephesians 5:25. I believe we'll see this tomorrow morning. Ephesians 5:25b. Christ also loved the church and gave himself up for her. He gave himself up for the church. He loved her so much that he would give himself up for her. What kind of love is this? This is the love that the Lord asks us who become husbands to have for our wives. Wow. That's a very high demand. We can't do that. We can't do that without Christ. Right? Only Christ has such a love. Then, let me give you the third verse. Acts 20, 28b. This last part of the verse says, the church of God, which he obtained through his own blood. The church of God. The church of God, which he obtained through his own blood. How did God gain the church? How did he obtain the church? It was through his own blood that he obtained the church. Do you think it's easy for God to have blood? Does God have blood? Wait a second. Is that a typo? Is it brother speaking heresy? This is in the Bible. Yeah, you look it up, right? God has blood. Why? Because God became a man. Without becoming a man, he couldn't have human blood. Then he lived a perfect human life. So he didn't need to die for his own sins. He could die for our sins. This is what God needed to do in order to have blood, in order to purchase the church. He had to become a man in incarnation. He had to live a perfect human life. Then he had to die on the cross in order to shed that blood for us. Do you see how precious is the church to God? That he would go through so much to gain the church. I just was considering a little story to tell you. In July of 2012, I think many of us heard of this tragedy in Aurora, Colorado. In that tragedy, someone came into a movie theater and began to shoot many of the young people and many people that were there that night. Unfortunately, this is the age that we live in. We saw in the fall conference, remember? This is the age of Noah, right? The days of Noah, full of violence, full of violence. We see this. We hear about this on our campuses. In many places, we see the violence increasing. But in the midst of that tragedy, there was a very inspiring story. And that was this. When that tragedy was happening, there was a number of young men. As the bullets were flying, they jumped in front of the young ladies that were sitting next to them. In that situation, our natural life tells us, get out of here. Right? Save yourself. Get down. But something happened in three or four young men that they jumped in front of. They dove in front of the young lady that was sitting next to them. And these three young men, they lost their lives. But the ladies lived. And I just was reminded, this is the love that Christ has for the church. He died for her. He died for her. He gave up his life that he could save their life. The Lord gave up his life for us that we could be the church. We could be the church. This is the kind of love he has for us. So I hope we would have a little feeling for how precious is the church to God. Okay, let's go on now to letter B. The church is not just a teaching or something in the heavens or something for the future. It is present, visible, real, and practical. Amen. Oh, you have to come to message 3. We want to share with you how practical, how real. Oh, the church is so wonderful. You have to give yourself to live in the church. Not only see the church, but there's a place. There's a practical expression and living out of the church. And it's for us today. Now, in letter C, the church is not a physical building made with bricks and stone, but the building together of all God's chosen, redeemed, regenerated, and transformed people. I don't know if you've seen this. This is a vision. The church is not a physical building, but it is a building. It's a building of living stones. This is what Peter says. We're being built into a spiritual house. Living stones are being built up together. This is the church. It's spiritual. You have to come tomorrow, message 2, and see what the church is in all its wonderful aspects. Then you need to come to message 4 to see how you can build the church. How can you in your daily life participate in the building of the church? The greatest endeavor any human beings have undertaken, to build the church. Wow. Oh, don't miss it. Don't miss it. Okay. Letter D. Just as without our body, our physical members have no meaning, in the same principle, without the church, we Christians have no purpose. Therefore, we must be for the church. Let's say that last phrase. We must be for the church. If I cut off my hand tonight, that would be terrible. What would it do? It has no meaning. Does my hand have meaning outside of my body? It's a scary, terrible thing. All of you are all members of the church. Your existence is in the church. Your life, the purpose of your life, the meaning of your life is not to be just an individual Christian, but to be a member of this wonderful, oh, what is it? Organism called the church. You know, the church is not an organization, but the church is an organism. It's something living, something living. This is the church. We'll see this more. Okay, now we come to the heart of the message, Roman numeral 2. We want to see God's purpose for the church. So let's read Roman numeral 2 together. The church is more than just a group of fallen people who are saved and who come together to worship God. It is the very central matter of God's eternal plan. The church is the central matter of God's eternal plan. Eternal plan. This wasn't something that just kind of came by the way, and Christ, he became a man. He said, you know what? I think I'm going to, let me do that. Let me try a church. Let me make a church. Oh, young people, you have to see in Ephesians 3. In Ephesians 3, it says this about the church. It says the eternal purpose. The church is according to God's eternal purpose. It's not an afterthought. It's part of God's eternal purpose. You know, when God created man in Genesis 1:26, one of our favorite verses, God made man in his image, right? This was so that man would express God. And God gave man dominion so that man could rule for God. And when God created man, remember, God didn't just create a single man. He said, let them have dominion. Right? God said, let us make man in our image and let them. So he created a corporate man. A corporate man to have God's image and to rule for God. This is why man was made. This is the purpose of God in creation. But you know that purpose of God in creation was not fulfilled. Did Adam and Eve express God? Did they rule over the enemy when he came in the garden in Genesis 3? I don't think so. So you know where this purpose is fulfilled? It's fulfilled in the church. God is still waiting. God is still looking. God is still longing for some young people, for some on the earth today who would fulfill this desire of God to fully express Him and to rule over His enemy. And this is the first two aspects that we see of the purpose of the church. Let's read letter A. God's purpose for the church is to express Himself through many matured sons. God wants to express Himself through many matured sons. If we look at Ephesians 1:5, you know what it tells us? It tells us that God predestinated us unto sonship. Oh, dear young people, you were predestinated. You have a destiny already. Yeah. Whatever your plans are, whatever you're thinking to do, sorry, you have another destiny. God predestinated you unto sonship. Amen. We better figure out what that means, because that's our destiny. Our destiny is sonship. He put a mark on us. He marked us out beforehand, before He created anything, before we had done anything. God didn't choose you because you were good or bad. It was just His good pleasure. Some of us, we just wonder, why did He choose me? Have you ever thought that? Yeah, if you haven't thought that, then one day you will think that. Yeah. You still think you're pretty good? Yeah. But one day we're just, wow. Right, Michael? Wow. Lord, thank You. Thank You. Thank You for mercy. He chose us. He predestinated us into sonship. Let me tell you what sonship is. Sonship means to have the life, the position, and the inheritance of a son. Yeah. Not just to have the life of a son, but the position of a son. And even further, to inherit all that God is. This is what He predestinated us for. That we would have God's life. We would have the life of God. Do you think it's a good thing to have the life of God? Wow. We could have the life of God. This is the first thing, to be a son. Then to have the position of a son. We're sons of God. We have what a position we have. Do you have this realization sometimes that you're a son of God? Have you ever had this feeling? At school, maybe some students are getting together in some class and there's an assignment. And then one of the students in your group, you're studying for a test, one of the students breaks out an old exam from that professor. Say, hey man, take a look. My frat buddies, they keep a file of all the old exams, and they break out the exam and say, hey, you know, come on man, let's get a. We want to do good on this test, right? Don't you want to do good? Yeah, let's come on, take a look at look at this old exam. At that moment, though, something happens inside of you. You remember, I'm a son of God. You wish you could forget. You really need to do well on that test. Lord, don't remind, Lord, after the test, remind me I'm a son of God. But at that moment, you're a son of God. Would a son of God cheat on the exam? Oh, Lord. Let me just share with you this was about a month ago. I was driving home from the store, had to pick up some things, and I'm driving down one of these main streets in Riverside. And as I'm driving probably about 40, you know, and right about the speed limit. And anyway, I look down the street, and there's a man, older man, starting to cross the road with his dog. But he's not crossing at a crosswalk. And he's not crossing at a light. Like, there's a light. I'm just kind of passing the light. And then there's another light, like half a mile. And he's, like, right in the middle. And so I kind of get annoyed at this guy. Like, what's this old guy doing, man? You know, don't you get bothered by people who don't cross at the right place? So I don't slow down. Right? I mean, this is a road. This is a highway. This is where cars go. You want to cross, buddy? Go over to the crosswalks. Can you believe I did this? Yeah, I did. So I just continued right at 40. Yeah. And by the time I got there, he was right about the middle of the street. Yeah. And as I drove past him, you know, I didn't stare at him or anything. But as I drove past him, he yelled at me. He yelled at me. He says, why didn't you stop? Or anyway, I don't even know what he said. He just, he's with his dog and older man. He just yells at me. And I just kept on driving. And I'm thinking to myself, what's wrong with that guy? What's he thinking, crossing it and then yelling at me? What did I do? I'm just driving. When I got home, when I got out of the car, my conscience said, that was not a son of God. I was just fully convicted. I said, Lord Jesus, an older man walking across the road. You can't even stop for the guy? Yeah, maybe you're right, but you're dead right. I didn't live as a son of God in that experience. Later on, you know what? A couple days later, I saw him walking by my house. A shameful son of God hid his face from that old man. I just was hoping he didn't recognize me. Does this happen to you? Right? We're sons of God. But in our daily life, do we live as a son of God? So you know what? We need to grow. We need to grow. Let's see this in these points. In number one, by the divine birth, we become children of God with the life of God. This is the birth we have. And where did this happen? We were born in our spirit. In our spirit, we were born of God to be children of God. So you can say this. Right now, your spirit is son of God. In your spirit, you are the son of God. But, as my illustration illustrates, in my soul, oh Lord. Number two, through the transforming of our soul, we grow in life to become sons. To become sons. So initially we're children, but the Lord needs to grow in us more so that we would become sons of God, sons of God. This is through more growth and through the Lord transforming our soul, right? My mind needs to be adjusted. So when I see older people crossing the street, I slow down. Yeah, my mind is not... I drive like a child sometimes. Brothers, do you ever drive like a child? Amen. So we need to grow. We need to grow. We need to grow in all things, right? We need to grow up into Him in all things, in all the things of our daily life. We need to grow. Then, eventually, in three, eventually there will be a time of full maturity, glorification, that results in the manifestation of the Son of God, of the sons of God. And this is when our body will be fully sunized. We can use that word, sunized. Yeah. So we'll become sons of God, not just in our spirit, like now. Right now, we're sons of God in our spirit. But as the Lord grows in us, we become sons of God in our soul. So we live God. We express God. We're transformed. And one day, eventually, as we're opening to the Lord and join the Lord, allowing Him to gain us, one day, eventually, there will be the sonship. In Romans chapter 8, it says this. It says, we groan in ourselves, eagerly awaiting sonship, the redemption of our body. The redemption of our body. This is the full sonship. The full sonship. When the Lord gains our whole being, He saves us in His life, from our spirit, through our soul, even to our body. And you know what? It's amazing. It says this in Romans 8:19. It says that there's an anxious watching of the creation, eagerly awaits the revelation of the sons of God. At school, they may not know that you're a son of God, right? You're a son of God in your spirit. Maybe when they offer to show you the old exam, and you say, you know what, I just don't feel good about that. Maybe they see that there's son of God because the Lord's transforming your soul, right? There's some expression there of the son of God. But let me tell you, one day, no one will have any doubts that David Dinh is a son of God. You know why, David? You know why? One day, what's going to happen? Yeah. One day, David Dinh, listen to this. The Son of God in your spirit, the life of God, will spread through your soul. It's happening right now, right? The Lord's spreading in you?
Yes.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen. Even as you're standing here, you're like, Lord, have mercy on me. Lord, may the brother not do something crazy. Amen. That's
Amen.
Right. But listen, David, one day, the Son of God who's in your spirit, spreading your soul, He will fully saturate your body.
Amen.
And you will be, there will be the revelation of the sons of God. You will be fully in glory,
Amen.
Expressing God.
Amen.
This is going to happen, David. Amen?
Amen.
The more you say amen, the more it will happen.
Amen. Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Amen.
This is happening to all of us, David. Thank you very much. So one day, and listen, all creation is waiting for this. They're waiting. Perhaps tonight, as you drive out, perhaps the palm trees, they might lean over and say, are you becoming a son of God? Yeah, because they're watching. Did you see that? It says the anxious watching. It actually means they're craning their neck. They're leaning over. I don't know if you ever had the feeling as you walk by some plants that they were kind of looking at you. Yeah. It says in the Bible, the creation is anxiously waiting for the revelation of the sons of God. They're saying, who will open to Jesus? Who will allow God to spread in their whole being? Because once there's some human beings on the earth, once there's a church that fully becomes the Son of God, then all of creation will be released from the vanity. Yeah, in verse 20 it says, the creation was made subject to vanity. And in 21, in hope the creation itself will be freed from the slavery of corruption into the freedom of the glory of the children of God. So we have to grow. Dear young people, you have to grow in the Lord. Let me ask you a question. I need to ask Brother Josiah to help me. Josiah, could you just stand? Here's the question, Josiah. When you were born, how much did you weigh?
Eight and a half pounds.
So that's pretty, you know, a little bit above average. Most babies are 6 to 7 pounds. I had 4 daughters, so yeah, I've held them. Just tiny. Josiah, you were tiny. You were just tiny baby when you were born. Now, let me ask you, Josiah. You're a mature son. A mature son of David Vinson. Yeah, right? Mature son of David Vinson. Now, here's my question for you. How did you do it? Did when you were little, did your dad just say, you know, come on, Josiah, you got to grow? Did he spank you to grow? Did he? I mean, how did your dad get you to grow? Like, I mean, you grew well, right? Did you hear that? What did he do? Young people, here's a secret. You have to eat.
Amen.
Oh, what are you eating?
Tree.
What are you eating?
Eat that tree.
Eat that tree. We sang about it.
Amen.
Let me ask you, do you do it in your daily life?
Amen.
When you wake up in the morning, do you eat? Do you eat the Lord? Do you take Him in? Right? We sing about it. We enjoy it in the meetings. This is the way to become a mature son. You have to eat. And you know what that means? It means you probably have to eat healthy food, right? Josiah, did your dad just give you like candy and chips?
Sometimes.
Was that most of the time or
no?
Oh, okay. Yeah. So occasionally he gets some junk food. But you got to eat healthy food, right? That's right. Thank you, brother. You're a wonderful illustration. Dear saints, do you want to be a mature son of God? Do you want Christ to have the church as the corporate sons of God? You have to eat Him. You have to eat Him. I hope we could really experience this. I just encourage you, eat more, right? Eat more of the Lord. Don't eat so many other things, right? What do you listen to? What you listen to is what you're eating. Yeah. Whatever you take into your being, what do you look at? What do you look at when you have time? When you're not studying, you're not in the meetings, what do you look at? Whatever we're looking at is what we're feeding on. It's not a small thing. You say, oh, well, you know what? If I see something bad, I could just say, Lord, cleanse me with your blood. You can. And He does. But you ate it. You ate it. It got in. How long does it take for something that gets in to come out of us, right? To be reconstituted. And not so simple. We can take the blood easy, but what we see, what we listen to, it gets into us. Just one little funny story. A month ago, I was finishing grading papers for the winter session. And so I was downstairs. All the kids were in bed, and it was a little bit later at night. So I had my little computer, and so I went to iTunes, and then I'm listening to some of the CDs, the hymns. And then I just felt kind of a little hungry. Like, you know, the CDs, the hymn CDs, just, they didn't quite feed me enough. Have you ever had this feeling that you're kind of looking for something else? Yeah. So I go on iTunes, and, you know, at the top there's like this bar, and then you could go through different types of music. So this actually happened to me. Yeah. And I went and I clicked on country.
Yeah.
Country. I don't know, you know, I'm not going to ask for any hands. Yeah. I just listened to the song, you know, a country song, and, you know, I was like, oh, you know, it's because I like playing guitar, right? Acoustic guitar. You like harmony, you know. There are a lot of human stories, human sentiment in those country songs. So you just, you know, you listen to something. Yeah. And then I was like, maybe try one more. You know? And then it just wasn't feeding me. Yeah. And so, you know, I went back to online. I said, looked up hymnal.net. Like, oh, that's, you know, I know that one. And they just play the songs and like play it over and over, you know. Anyway, try the jukebox. And then I found something. You know what I found? I found something called Hymns Radio. Have you guys found it yet? Hymns Radio. Yeah, you could put it on your phone too. It's an app. Hymns Radio, a website. And it has all the hymns from the New York CDs, yeah, and the LSM CDs. It has them all together. So for the last month, I've been enjoying Hymns Radio. And the Lord's been saving me from country music. Because I just hear the hymn and I just get strengthened. I get energized. I get saved. And I hope I'm growing a little bit more to become a son of God. Okay, now we need to finish up. In letter B, let's read letter B together. God's purpose for the church is to make his wisdom known to the enemy. This is the second purpose of the church, is that God wants to make his wisdom known to the enemy. Satan came in to cause man to fall. But what God is doing in us is causing his wisdom to be displayed. You know, if you have a little problem, you need a little wisdom. If you have a big problem, you need a lot of wisdom. God had a big problem because Satan came and got himself into man in the garden. Man was there before the tree of life. But before man could receive God, the subtle Satan came and tricked man to take in the tree of knowledge of good and evil, to take sin, to take the life and nature of Satan into man. What a terrible problem. What is God going to do now? It needs wisdom. And I like to tell you, you know who is God's wisdom? Christ is the wisdom of God. In 1 Corinthians 1:30, it says, "But of him you are in Christ Jesus, who became wisdom to us from God, both righteousness and sanctification and redemption." God's wisdom is Christ. And God's way of solving this problem is just to send Christ, to bring Christ to us. And I'd like to give you some words here. What does Christ do? What does Christ do? Consider our situation as fallen people, right? When we were under the fall, you can read Ephesians 2, 1 through 10. I don't have time tonight. But if you read Ephesians 2, 1 through 10, you see our background. You see the black ground. We were dead in offenses and sins, right? Walking according to the age of the world. So many negative things. Let me give you some negative words. This is our background. Filthy. Condemned. Unrighteous. Fallen. Enemies. Bound. Dead, scattered, and divided. This is our experience. This is the experience of every fallen human being. Without Christ, this is a description of your experience. So what would God do? God comes in Christ and exercises his wisdom. Let me tell you what Christ does for us. Christ as God's wisdom. You know what he does? He washes us. If you feel good about this word wash, say amen.
Amen.
Does it feel good to be washed in the blood of the Lamb?
Amen.
This is Christ. Christ is your redemption. To the condemned ones, what does he do? He forgives you. The unrighteous ones, what does he do? Justifies you. Fallen, he redeems you. When you're an enemy of God, what does Christ do? He reconciles you. When you're bound, Christ comes and he frees you. He releases you from all the bondage. You're dead, he enlivens you. He regenerates you. This is Christ as the wisdom of God. We were scattered. But what does Christ do? He gathers us. Tonight we're gathered into his name. Oh, it's so good to be gathered. And then lastly, the last word I gave you was divided. Tonight, we are one. We're one. In Christ, we are one. So this is God's wisdom. And I just would encourage you in this way. If you want to hear of God's wisdom, you know what you do? Just ask a brother or sister to share with them their testimony. Anybody. Yeah. Ask a freshman, maybe at the hospitality tonight, ask the brother or sister that you're staying with, how did you receive the Lord? How did you come to the church? And as they share their story, what you will see is the multifarious wisdom of God.
Amen.
In all our lives, we see God's wisdom. Yeah. I didn't get into UCLA. I went to UCI. God's wisdom. God's wisdom. It's multifarious. There's many aspects to it. It's like a diamond ring, sisters. And you look at it different angles and it glitters and it shines and it's, wow, amazing. That's God's wisdom. So you need to talk to all the saints so that you can see all the aspects of God's wisdom. Okay, the last point. Let's read letter C. God's purpose for the church is to head up all things in Christ. This is the third aspect. So we express Him as sons in A. We make His wisdom known to the enemy. And that's a shame to the enemy, by the way. When the enemy sees what the Lord is doing in all of us. In number two, it says the church is built up by the sonship. Through the building up of the church, the enemy is subdued and God's wisdom is displayed. Yeah. So the enemy is put to shame through God's wisdom. And finally, in letter C, the third purpose of the church is to head up all things in Christ. This is in Ephesians 1:10. It says, unto the economy of the fullness of the times, to head up all things in Christ, the things in the heavens and the things on the earth in Him. In Him. So the church is here to head up all things. To head up all things. In number one, it says God created the heavens and the earth as a realm within which He placed countless creatures. And at the center, God created man as the vessel to contain Himself. Before God could come into man, Satan injected himself into man by tempting him to take the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. What happened in the fall was the serpent, the subtle one, came to Eve and spoke to her. And instead of taking her husband, taking the headship, she spoke to him without the headship. What about us in our daily life? It's not just for the sisters. What about the brothers? Is Christ our head? Is Christ our head? How about right now? As the high school seniors, as the college sophomores who are transferring, as you're considering where to go, is Christ your head? Are you taking the Lord as your head? Lord, Lord, I want to remain under You. I want to receive from You. Lord, what's Your feeling? Where should I go? As the college seniors are graduating, oh Lord, what should I do? I've heard of this place called the FTTA. Oh, Lord. Matter of fact, it's going to be like right here, Lord. Lord, like this is the foundation of the new FTTA. Oh, Lord, what about it? Would You take the Lord as Your head? That's all I'm asking. Just open to Him, right? Open to Him. We need to be headed up by Him. If we're headed up by Him, listen to this, then the church will bring in the headship of Christ to the earth, and all things will be headed up. When you, brothers and sisters, are headed up by Christ in your daily life, then you know what? In your locality, the church is headed up. Then the city that you are in is headed up. Then the country that we live in gets headed up. Then the earth that we live on gets headed up. It's not a small thing to take the Lord as your head. When we're under Him as our head, this leads to the heading up of all things. Satan injected himself into man. In number three, it says this injection of sin brought in death. Death brought in darkness, and darkness brought in confusion. You should underline these four words. Sin. Where sin is, death comes. Where death comes, darkness is. And where darkness is, there's confusion. These four words summarize the life in the world today. The life in the world today. Sin, death, darkness, and confusion. Confusion. But the Lord wants to bring us out of this. And that's why we need the church. Man as the head was damaged, so all of creation became damaged. Seemingly, God does not do anything amidst all the confusion. But actually, He is working in a silent yet living way. God is working in a silent yet living way. God created all things by His power, but He recovers everything by life. In number 5, God's way to recover the oneness among His creation is to impart Himself as life. You see, this is God's way. He comes into us as life. It is by being life to the church and the church being built up by this life that the light of God shines out as the controlling factor to release all creation from confusion and bring it into liberty under the shining of the sons of God. In this way, Christ will be the head of all things through the church. Last thing I'd like to share with you is in Revelation 22, we see something called the New Jerusalem. The New Jerusalem is the ultimate sign. It's a symbol with spiritual significance. It represents the consummation of the church. What will the church be? The New Jerusalem. And in this New Jerusalem, you know what is there? Revelation 22:1. There's a throne of God and of the Lamb. God and the Lamb. And out of the throne flows a river of water of life. Life flows out. But now, God and the Lamb, you know who they are? It says that God is the light and the Lamb is the lamp. The Lamb, B, is the lamp. P. Yeah. So, there's life flowing out of the throne. And there's light shining from the top of the throne. We enjoy this life. Light shines in us. Light shines in us. And as it shines in us, what happens? We're headed up. We're brought under the throne. This is the experience that we can have today. In the church today, we can all live receiving the river of water of life. We can all live under the light of God. And we can all be headed up, brought into order, not organization, but an order of life. You just look at our body. Our body's full of life. If my head is cut off, I will be a heap of collapse. That's the way the world is today. But because there's life, because my body is holding on to the head, life is being dispensed. My whole being is in light and everything is in the proper order. This is what the Lord does through the church. So stay in the church. Love the church. Amen. Consecrate yourself to the church. Amen. Because it's through the church that we receive life, light, and we're brought into order. And this will head up the whole universe. So, in conclusion, let us read the focus. Let us read the focus together. Amen.